Well, good evening and welcome to Westwood. My name is Zach Bush. I serve as the pastor of Community Life, leading our small group and young adult ministry, and it is just a great joy of mine to be here with you tonight. As we've been walking through this Lent season, we've really dug into Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and we've sought to understand what are some great practical ways that we can follow Jesus on a deeper level. As I think back on my life, there are really numerous instances, two in particular that come to mind of when I really grew in my faith, of when it was an adrenaline shot to my faith. And that first moment really came during my college years. I was a student at Bethel University, and I lived with some incredible roommates that really showed me what it looked like to love one another well, to love one another and to serve one another in the name of Jesus. And there was really one roommate in particular. His name was Lenny. And Lenny was kind of an old soul, if you will. He was the responsible one in the dorm room. But Lenny really loved us well. And the most minuscule way that he did that was by cleaning the dishes in our dorm. Praise the Lord for Lenny, right? I just remember numerous occasions I would get up in the morning and I'd go to class or I'd go to a meeting, and as I was walking out, I'd see a couple of dishes in the sink, and then I'd return from my class and the dishes were cleaned and put away and all was good. And then after my junior year, something tragic happened. Lenny graduated and Lenny got married. And so that left me my senior year to live with a new group of guys who did not share the same characteristics as Lenny. In fact, these guys were the complete opposite of Lenny. So much so that I would go to class on numerous occasions and they wouldn't clean their dishes. And there was really one time in particular, I was preparing to come to a youth ministry retreat, a weekend-long retreat here at Westwood with the youth students. And as I was walking out the door on the Friday afternoon, I looked over into the sink and I noticed there's a handful of dishes in there. But I thought, those aren't mine. They'll take care of themselves, right? My roommates, the ones who made them dirty, they'll clean them up. So I went on the retreat, had a blast, came back Sunday night, and what do you think? Were the dishes there? Of course not. Because they were like doubled in size, right? Ramen noodle and mac and cheese were just caked all over the plates and the bowls, and they were sitting there, stinking up the entire dorm. And as I think about that story, as humorous as it is, it really stands as a metaphor for our spiritual life. You see, because there are things in our life that if we don't attend to, they often build up over time. Their difficulties, their sins, their grimes, their hardships, and ultimately those things build up over time and cause a hindrance for us in our walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe for some of you in here, you naturally have an inclination towards anger, and you find yourself lashing out at your friends and family members, or perhaps you struggle with impatience, and you find yourself impatient with your coworkers. Or maybe you find yourself stretched far too thin and you have zero margin in your life. And those things continue to build up and compile upon one another until they are a hindrance to our walk with Jesus. And so what are we to do with those things? That's really what Jesus calls us to. As he says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to become my followers, they must deny themselves and take up their cross. 2 weeks ago, Kevin stood here and he talked a little bit about what the self is, what the flesh is. And he said that the flesh is the tug of war on our lives, pulling us from the promptings of God. And he challenged us to identify those pullings of the flesh. Last week, Josh was here and he talked about what it meant to deny the flesh, how we are to look at those pullings in our life as we identify them. And he gave us the simple, straightforward principle. Avoid it if it causes you to stumble because of the spirit that lives in us, this new life that indwells us. And so tonight we come to the next phrase, that we must take up our cross daily. And so that's our topic for tonight. How do we take up our cross daily? What does it look like on a daily basis to take up our cross and to follow Jesus on a deeper level? Well, the passage that we're going to be looking at comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. So if you brought your Bibles with you, I encourage you to pull them out, turn them on, upload them, or download them to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. We'll be walking through there. If you don't have them, that's okay. You can just follow along with me as I read here in a little bit. But this is what the Apostle Paul says as he seeks to uncover what it looks like to take up our cross. He says this, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Now, as Paul's really digging into this, there are numerous things that come to the surface. And the first thing that he comes out and really lays before us is this imperative, this command for us to consider. He says, you also must consider. And that's a beautiful word. In some translations, it says reckon, right, which is a good Southern word for me. But what Paul's getting at with that word there is to really consider. It means to place your mind, your intellect, use your cognitive faculties to think on a certain topic, right? It has this idea of going through mental calculations and really meditating on a certain topic or subject and really working it through to reflect, to consider, to think on a specific topic. And that topic that Paul suggests here is the reality that we are brought from death to life. He says, consider, set your minds on the truth of the gospel. Now, here's a little metaphor of what I was digging through in some of the commentaries. What they suggested a good metaphor for considering or reckoning is this idea of a check. Now, whenever you get a check in the mail, right, for me, it's during my birthday time. My grandparents send me a check. I open it up and I look at the check. I check the amount there. And so I'm cognitively thinking, okay, there is money somewhere in someone else's account. I flip it over and I endorse it and then submit it, right? And so ultimately what we see is that as we are thinking about this cognitive fact, as we set our minds on the beauty of the gospel, that we're brought from death into life, that doesn't just stay in our intellect, but ultimately that pours forth into the practical day-to-day living of our lives. Much like I'm signing the check, when we consider, when we set our minds upon the beauty of the gospel, that impacts every fiber of our lives. And Paul continues on. He says in verse 13, he gives us really two options for that practical way of living our lives. The first option, he says, do not present your members, your bodies, your lives to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. That's option one. But he says option two, present your lives, your members to God as instruments for righteousness. The two options are before us as we consider and think about the beauty of the gospel. Now, as I was thinking about that, as I was really digging into this passage and meditating on it this week, the one word that continued to emerge for me was instruments, right? It's this idea of a tool. And it got me thinking, right? The tool needs someone to utilize it. Because when I think about it, right, how many times have y'all seen a hammer a nail by itself, right? How many times have you seen a screwdriver screw in a screw by itself? When my wife Cassie and I moved into our new home in Chaska back in November, everything was really good, aside from the half bath on the main level. It needed a little bit of work to it. It needed a fresh coat of paint and a new toilet. And I thought, man, what a great opportunity for me to be a man and really man up and do some work. Right? Have a steak afterwards. And so I pulled out the toolbox. I got the paint ready to go. I got the brand new toilet. But as I got everything ready, right, and I popped open the toolbox and I stood back, nothing happened. It wasn't like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia when all the hammers kind of come up and start doing the work and the wrenches for me, right? I had to pick the tools up. I had to pick the paintbrush up and go to work myself. You see, because a tool, an instrument is only as good as the one who uses it. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying our lives are instruments either in the hands of God for righteousness or in the hands of sin for unrighteousness. Now, when I think about this, this is how it relates to our lives. It's so relieving for me because when I think about my life as merely a tool, an instrument in the hands of God, it just gives me so much relief because I remind myself that I am utilized in the hands of a perfect, loving, holy, and gracious God. When I set my mind, when I consider and reckon the beauty of the gospel, I realize that I am just a tool empowered by the Holy Spirit used for God's purposes. Now, here's really a summation point as we were thinking about it. Anything we can do for God is possible only because of what God has done for us. Anything we can do for God is made possible only because of what God has done for us. So when we think about this, when we think about our lives, that we are living in response to the beauty of the gospel, what we remind ourselves of is much like a hammer in the hands of a master carpenter, so are our lives in the hands of a God who is loving and holy, when we consider and place our minds on the beauty of the gospel that we are brought from death into life. Much like a bow and a violin in the hands of a master musician, a master violinist, so are we in the hands of a perfect and omnipotent and loving God. When we reckon, when we consider, when we place our mind on the beauty of the gospel. So with all that said, right, we return back to that opening question. Okay, how do we take up our cross and follow Jesus daily? How do we practically do that? Well, first of all, one of the things that I always come back to is to think, what is it Jesus is actually saying here? Right? He's telling his disciples, his followers, to take up this tool, this instrument that was used for mass execution. He was telling his disciples, take up ultimately a tool for capital punishment. If he was to say that in our day and age, he would say, take up your electric chair and follow me. And when I think about that, I just think, why would I ever want to do that, right? What is it that spurs us on to get to that point to want to do it, right? It's so countercultural to what the world around us wants to say. But how do we get to that point? First of all, it's very simple. Follow this command to consider. Set your mind on the beauty of the gospel that we are brought from death to life. You see, when I think about that, when I think about the fact that I have new life instead of death, it really gives me this new response, because the reality is that Jesus went to the cross and he took something that we deserved, namely death, and he gave us something that we didn't deserve, namely life. You see, when we get something that we don't deserve, ultimately the response and the result of that should build within us is a sense of gratitude. And so I really think that when we get to this point of walking in obedience and taking up our cross daily, that's the key. It's to grow in gratitude. And so my challenge tonight is this: grow in gratitude for all the gifts God has given, right? Grow in gratitude for all the gifts that God has given. You know, when I think about the beauty of our salvation, the beauty of the gospel, a lot of times it's really hard to imagine, because it's so big and it's so grandeur, but a lot of times we just boil it down to Jesus died for my sins and we kind of leave it at that. But I think that there's a better way that we can continue to understand the beauty of the gospel. Our beloved executive pastor, Jim Anderson, had a great saying. He would ask the question, how do you grill a whale? One piece at a time. Right? And so I think that really relates to us. It means making conscious daily decisions to reflect gratitude back on to God. Allow me to illustrate real quick. Last week, Josh Miller referenced the two greatest things about spring. He said, first of all, it's Easter, right? That's the first thing. But then the second best thing about spring is Reese's peanut butter cup eggs. Right? And you guys amened him last week. I was so proud. I felt like I was back in Texas. It was so good. But when I thought about that, right, just imagine for a second. God in his infinite knowledge and his creativity gave us taste buds. Taste buds to taste wonderful Reese's peanut butter cups, so that we can give thanks back to him. Not only that, he gave someone out there the intellect and the mind and the creativity to come up with this genius idea of making Reese's peanut butter cup eggs, right? So not only are we thanking God for the taste and we're thanking God for the intellect, but here's what happened. Last week when I went home, I told my wife, I was like, man, Josh killed it. He did such a great job. And he talked about Reese's peanut butter cups. The very next day I come home from work and there it is. Two trays of Reese's peanut butter cup eggs right on the kitchen countertop. And now, not only am I thanking God for the person who invented them, not only am I thanking God for the taste buds, but I'm thanking God for my wife, my beautiful wife who serves me so well, who, quite frankly, I am so undeserving of. Can I get an amen? Yeah. But I look at that, and it continues to build within me this sense of gratitude, so that I get to the point where I'm saying, grow in gratitude for all the gifts that God has given, so that little by little, piece by piece by piece, we can begin to attribute that back to our God, the one who has sent his son into the world to give us something that we don't deserve, so that in looking at the beauty of the gospel, that we're brought from death to life, we can respond in gratitude and thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. That's what it looks like to take up our cross and to follow Jesus daily. So in conclusion, we saw that Paul first says, hey, consider, think on these things, right? Go through this mental calculation, right? Set your mind on this subject, on this topic, namely the gospel that we're brought from death to life. And in considering, right, that should pour out into your everyday living, should impact your life so that you look at it and you say, I'm just an instrument, I'm just a tool in the hands of a wonderful, loving, all-powerful God who empowers me, who builds his kingdom through me. And in doing so, we can look back and set our minds on the beauty of the gospel, which stirs up within us a thankfulness that we're able to grow in gratitude for all the gifts that God has given us so that we can take up our cross to follow him daily. Let's pray. God, we thank you, and we're reminded that sometimes that is the best prayer that we can pray. We're so grateful. Your mercy and your grace is on display, that you are a God who is full of love, that you're a holy God, that you sent your Son to take the burden that we deserved, but he took it upon himself, and he gave us new life. So may we consider, may we meditate, may we reflect on this, and in so doing, stir up our hearts, our lives, our love for you to birth within us a new sense of gratitude. May we grow in gratitude for all the good gifts that you have given us. We love you and we praise you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen.